Part 4, Section 27. O Baha'u'llah, what hast thou done? To Lua, the final week of Abdu'l-Bahá's visit to America vanished as quickly as a mist from the sun. The joy of those days would soon be over. But what days of victory they had been. Shoghi Effendi has captured the poignant contrast between those times of American triumph and Abdu'l-Bahá's early sufferings and persecution. The Master's American followers, for years to come, would radiate the happiness and wonders of the hours he had shared with them. Abdu'l-Bahá himself must have been stirred to his depths by the ever-increasing signs of the respect being shown to his father's faith. Who knows what memories stirred within him, Shoghi Effendi writes of his beloved grandfather, as he stood before the thundering waters of Niagara, breathing the free air of a far distant land, or gazed in the course of a brief and much-needed rest upon the green woods and countryside in Glenwood Springs, or moved to a retinue of Oriental believers along the paths of the Trocadero Gardens in Paris, or walked alone in the evening beside the majestic Hudson on Riverside Drive in New York, or has he paced the terrace of the Hotel du Parc on Tonon-les-Bains, overlooking the Lake of Geneva, or as he watched from Serpentine Bridge in London, the pearly chain of lights beneath the trees stretching as far as the eye could see. Memories of the sorrows, the poverty, the overhanging doom of his earlier years. Memories of his mother who sold her gold buttons to provide him, his brother and his sister with sustenance, and who was forced in her darkest hours to place a handful of dry flour in the palm of his hand to appease his hunger. Of his own childhood, when pursued and derided by a mob of ruffians in the streets of Tehran. Of the damp and gloomy room, formerly a morgue, which he occupied in the barracks of Akka. And of his imprisonment in that dungeon of that city. Memories such as these must have surely thronged his mind. Thoughts too must have visited him of the Bab's captivity in the mountain fastness of Azerbaijan, when at night time he was refused even a lamp, and his cruel and tragic execution when hundreds of bullets riddled his youthful breast. Above all, his thoughts must have centred on Baha'u'llah, whom he loved so passionately and whose trials he had witnessed and shared from his boyhood. The vermin-infested Siachal of Tehran, the bastinado inflicted upon him in Amul, the humble fare which filled his kashkul while Baha'u'llah lived for 2 years the life of a dervish in the mountains of Kurdistan. The days in Baghdad when he did not even possess a change of linen, and when Baha'u'llah's followers subsisted on a handful of dates. His confinement behind the prison walls of Akka, when for 9 years even the sight of Verdu was denied him, and the public humiliation to which he was subjected at government headquarters in that city. Pictures from the tragic past, such as these, must have many a time overpowered him with feelings of mingled gratitude and sorrow, as he witnessed the many marks of respect, of esteem, and now shown him and the faith which he represented. One evening, as he was being driven to fulfill his third engagement in one day, in the nation's capital at Washington, Abdu'l-Bahá was heard to exclaim, O Baha'u'llah, what hast thou done? O Baha'u'llah, may my life be sacrificed for thee. How full were thy days with trials and tribulations, how severe the ordeals thou didst endure, how solid the foundation thou hast finally laid, and how glorious the banner thou didst hoist.